Looking at the Yahrzeit Shir on Kriyat Shema, we're up to Yud Beis, page Yud Beis, but let's just review section Dalet up until Yud Beis, because my goal for tonight would be to at least get a beginning of section Hey, which is on page Tes Zayin, but we'll see how much we're able to accomplish. So just to give you an overview, just to jolt your memory, we did a very thorough job on Yud and Yud Aleph, but let's give it again. The Shagas Ari and the Gon have the same objection to the Rambam. The Rambam, if you recall, the beginning of Hilchos Kriyat Shema establishes that even at night, we're going to have three parashas of Kriyat Shema, the third of which Vayomer is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim, because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Loz Ben Azari and Ben Zoma, that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim applies not just by day, but also by night, Kol Yimei Chayecha, Kol Ravos Halelos. And the question is how to square that with the sugya in Brachos, the sugya in Brachos on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, which you'll see quoted here in the main paragraph on page Yud, starts with a statement in the name of the Bnei Marava that with regard to the third parsha of Kriyat Shema in Arvis, we do not recite the entire parsha from beginning to end, but oddly enough, we begin the parsha with Dabar al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem. And then we skip the entire parasha until the last three words in that parasha, which are Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then we add the word Emes, because somewhere in Tanakh it says the word Emes, and that Emes is a segue to lead us to Emes V'yatzev, which is the bracha that follows Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. So then according to the Bnei Marava, strangely enough, the third parasha is not skipped entirely, but the bulk of it is left out, namely all of Parshas Tzitzis. So we'll open up, actually, this week's Parsha Shalach, and we'll take a look at the Psukim inside, if we have a Sefer Bamidbar, and you'll see how we're really just beginning this Parsha with the first Pasuk, and a little bit of the second Pasuk, and the last Pasuk. It's a very strange kind of situation. The truth is that if you don't have a chumash, you could take out a sitter and look in the third parasha also.
That's a nose off my heart, right?
Yeah, that's another way of doing it.
How could they just...
So let's just, again, with a lot of questions we have to ask here, but let's just get I want to get down to the kasha of the Shagas Aryeh. So it says over here, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem. And that's about it. Because once we finish with the Amarta Aleihem, which is the second half, midway through the second Pasuk in this parasha, you'll see that the Pei sets off the parasha, that's Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Then the Asalem Tzitzis begins the parasha of Tzitzis. We're going to skip all of that until we get to the last three words in the parasha, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then we add Emes. So you've got the first Pasuk and a half, plus you've got the last three words in the parasha. That's according to Bnei Marav. Rav holds lo yaschil. It doesn't make sense to begin this parasha, since the parasha essentially is a parasha of tzitzis, and there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. But Rav says, v'im hischil gomer. If you started the parasha, you have to read the entire parasha. Whatever that means. Omar Abaye, this is the final conclusion, la'halacha. Hilchach, what do we do? On the one hand, we agree with Rav Yosef that you have to begin the parasha. In theory, then, we would omit the entire middle section of the parasha, the bulk of the parasha that deals with tzitzis. Because in that sense, we agree with Rav that since tzitzis, Laila loves my tzitzis, we have to skip tzitzis. However, we also agree with Rav that im hischil gomer. So if we make the combo, we begin with accepting the Bnei Marava that require at least part of the parasha be read. We go then to accept Rav, that once you read part of the parasha, you got to read the whole parasha. So at the end of the day, we're going to read the entire parasha of Vayomer. And that's our Psak Halacha, that even at night, we read the third parasha of Kriyat Shema. Now the Gemara asks the question, but what about, let's say according to Rav, you completely leave out the third parasha, or even according to Bnei Marav, you leave out all of tzitzis in the parasha, and you only pick up on the last three words in the parasha. Vaboilad kure yitzias mitzrayim. So the premise of the kash, as Rashi formulates it, is that we paskin you need yitzias mitzrayim even at night. like Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, like Ben Zoma. But here, whether you take the Bnei Ma'arav who skipped the entire section of Tzitzis, including Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's also omitted, and Kolshken, if you say like Rav, who says don't even begin the parasha, how then do we fulfill the mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos? And the Gemara answers, you say your personal subjective nisuch. Do you remember this? You see, says the Shagasari explicitly, you don't need the Kriya of Parshas Vayomer in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Zechiris Yitzrayim. This kasha is not only difficult on the Rambam sheet, and maybe we could square the Rambam with the sugya, as we'll soon see, but it's even a more powerful kasha if you attack Reb Chaim. It undermines the entire chiddush of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says that in the Rambam Shita, Zechiris Yitzis Shayim is not an independent mitzvah, it's not counted in Tayag, but it's part and parcel of Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemayim. And the Yisoda Yisodas that the Rav always assumes, and he never questions this predicate, is that in order to fulfill Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemayim, you have to read Parshiyus in the Torah, Kiksava Ukil Shona. If you'll quickly flip back, for example, to page Dalet, and you look at the small paragraph on the top page Dalet that starts Baram, the Rav says that insofar as the Zechiris Yitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemayim, then we understand very well that you need to read a parsha in the Torah. And if you look on the fourth line, if you could underline those words, it's Tzricha Le'omer Kiksava Ukilashona Kishar Parshios Shel Kriyat Shema. In other words, when the Torah says in the parsha of Kriyat Shema Vahoyu Advar Ma'eleh, it's telling us that we must read a parsha in the Torah. Kiksava Kilashona, the way it's given in the Torah. So if we flip back now to page Yud, we understand very well how strong and how powerful the kasha of the Shagasari is, because if Reb Chaim postulates that the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrayim is part and parcel of and must be integrated into Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, it requires therefore the reading of a parasha Kiksava Kilshona, how then can the Gemara postulate that you fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrayim by simply reciting Modim Anachnu Lach, by reading it in your personal subjective formula? That's not a parasha in the Torah Kiksava Ukilshona. The Rav strengthens the kasha of the Shagasari by quoting the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is even more outspoken about the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this is on the top of your page at Aleph, by reciting Modim Anachnu Lach Shetzei Sonovi Mitzrayim. So the Yushalmi is parallel to the Bavli, and both the Yushalmi and the Bavli together agree that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzirayim without a parsha Kiksava Ukilshona, but rather with your own personal formula of Modim Anachnu Lach. And therefore, if you recall, the Rav breaks new ground by saying on page Yud Aleph that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the one hand, Enochinami, you see from the Gemara Brachos up front that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim without reading a parasha in the Torah in your own personal subjective formula. But on the other hand, the Rav says that would not be a complete, sophisticated shleimus mitzvah. The kiyum b'shleimus requires the second dimension, and that is to integrate Zechiris Yitzrayim together with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim by reading a parsha in the Torah. Interesting, the Rav has two sources that parallel these two dimensions. The source for the first dimension of an independent mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzrayim that has nothing to do with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, that doesn't require the reading of a parsha, is the pasuk on the other hand, what's the source for integrating Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim into the fabric of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? The Rav claims there are many psukim that we could quote, all of which point in that direction, that the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim is essential and indicates Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. For example, the Rav quotes the opening pasuk in Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzotzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, meaning I am the Lord your God that you have accepted, that you have to accept as your sovereign ruler, and receive and commit yourself to all His commands and His decrees, because I have taken you out of Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is what underlies the entire concept of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Therefore, says the Rav in the next paragraph, Lefichach, Rav, who drops the parasha of tzitzis at night, because he's of the opinion that you cannot read the parasha of tzitzis at night and integrate it into this mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because there is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night, then Rav is going to have to make a fundamental distinction between Kriyat Shema by day and Kriyat Shema by night. The difference between the two is not just that Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis is one parasha larger. You know, it's not just a quantitative difference, whereas Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis is two parashas instead of three. It's a much more fundamental distinction, and that is in terms of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. By day, we will fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim b'shleimus, in its perfect form, by integrating the parasha of tzitzis into Kriyat Shema, by reciting Parshas Vayomer, which includes within it Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, we fulfill both dimensions of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. That dimension that's derived from Lamad Tizkor Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim, as well as that dimension that integrates Zechiris Mitzrayim into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, because the last part of the parsha here of tzitzis, as we've seen in the past, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceisi Eschem Meretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim. But at night, according to Rav, in Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus, we have to drop parshas tzitzis, completely omit it. We're left with the first two parshas. But where's that Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim? The answer is Moda Menachem Loch. Yeah, but Moda Menachem Loch is an incomplete mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this is what we have to do. We have to clap al chet and say to the Ribbono Shalom, we have sinned and we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Why can't you just...
And take a look at the Rav's language. He says that at night the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is paguma. Do you see that word paguma? I'll show it to you inside. Paguma means it's incomplete. It's a fantastical chiddush, because what it means is that the Torah commands us to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, based on the pasuk Kol Yemei Chayecha, but yet the Torah makes it impossible for us to fulfill that mitzvah. How can we be obligated to a mitzvah which we cannot fulfill? I mean, there may be mitzvahs in the Torah that are not biyodcha, they're not in my control to guarantee that I'll fulfill the mitzvah. Period of Arivia, for example, but where do you find a mitzvah that the Torah commands and it's absolute that I cannot fulfill that mitzvah? But wait a minute, can I not fulfill the mitzvah? Let's go slow. It's a mitzvah paguma, it's an incomplete mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah. How? Modu v'nachdulach. That element, which is the critical element of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, I will fulfill even at night. And that's what the Gemara says in Rav, that he'll recite Modu Menachem Loch in his own particular subjective formula. But he has to forego the perfect kium, the shlemus, the perfection of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, that adds the second dimension of integrating Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. As far as the question how the Rambam could omit the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Minyan Taryag, the Rav in the paragraph Ulam at the bottom of page Yud Aleph claims that since the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim in its perfect form includes Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim into it, and Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim itself in its perfect form is integrated into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, therefore it's all one mitzvah. Does the Rambam mention in his Sefer Mitzvahs anything about Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim? I looked it up. I promise you I would. It took me a long time to find it. It's a mitzvah yud. And guess what? The Rambam says nothing about Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's completely omitted. And therefore, I find it a little bit difficult to accept this approach in the framework of Reb Chaim, that Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim ba'leilos can only be fulfilled within Kriyat Shema. And therefore the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is omitted in Minyan Taryag, when in fact, A, the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim can be fulfilled without Kriyat Shema, independent of Kriyat Shema. According to Rav, that's exactly what we do every night of the year. Kol Yemei Chayecha L'Rabbos HaLeilos, but not within Kriyat Shema, because we drop the third parasha, because parasha tzitzis ain't in Emeris Balayla. So you see, as the Gemara postulates, and the Shagasari rips it in to Reb Chaim, we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim with the personal subjective formula of modim. that independent mitzvah, derived, as the Rav says, from the Pasuk of Antiskas, Yom Tzeis Chomer Tzitzayim, should have been counted in the Binyan Taryag, but since that mitzvah, Bishlemus, requires a parish of Kriyat Shema, which can only be fulfilled according to Rav, when?
In the daytime,
not at night. Therefore, it's all one big package. Shouldn't the Rambam have indicated that? I don't know. Couldn't the Rambam have been larger and more generous about counting mitzvahs? I don't know. What can I tell you?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Last week, remember we said that we tried to say that the reason he only counted as one mitzvah part Kriyat Shema is because that's how you do it Bishlei Musa, right? And then
right.
Rav said to me, but that's not one of the principles.
Shush, I didn't see the shush.
But I heard recently heard a shir. The Rambam normally has a principle, right? That if one thing is ma'akev another, he counts it as one mitzvah. So for example, the Arba Minim will count as one mitzvah because they're ma'akev one another.
Right. Or tzitzis is only one mitzvah because you need all four tzitzis. But tefillin is counted as two.
Exactly. Because you can actually have
a
shush. So I once heard that basically that you have a question with regard to tzitzis. Tchelos, Rambam holds
Tchelos
and Lavan and Makiv the Tchelos, but yet he doesn't count it as two mitzvahs.
Right.
So I heard the reason that he doesn't count it as two mitzvahs, even though one is not Makiv the other,
it's because it's one Heft.
Because Musa.
You need both.
So maybe the Rambam does have this concept that he looks at things Bishlei Musa. Do you see him? Because there's an example of where, according to at least some...
but I would say, I would have said a different shot, that Tchelos and Lavan form one Heft.
Right.
And if there's one Maisa Mitzvah in which you put on both, and the Levish itself is the Kiyum Tzitzis,
I would not
say that in Kriyat Shema and Tzchius Tzitzis Mitzrayim. And certainly Tzchius Mitzrayim doesn't require Kriyat Shema, even according to the Rav, because Kriyat Shema is not Likuva, and indeed according to Rav every night we recite this.
I would have thought the same thing myself, but apparently Rav Avram ben Arambam, he apparently says that the reason his father counted Tchelos and Lavan as one Mitzvah is because it's Bishlei Musa, that's how it's done. I'm just saying,
again, Bishlei Musa, I don't know what he means by Bishlei Musa. I think what he means by Bishlei Musa is that it's integrated into one chafetz.
You don't think he means it in the same context?
It's got to be one chafetz and one maisa mitzvah. And if you two, you could fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles.
No, you can't do without
lavan, or long without tcheles. I promise you, I don't have a single shadow of a doubt the Rambam would have counted it as two mitzvahs, even though the shleimus hamitzvah is enhanced by having both.
Understand.
And I'll be honest with you, I think there may be other mitzvahs where, you know, two mitzvahs might be related to each other and should be fulfilled together. Even Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. I wouldn't be surprised if one could argue, I don't have it at my fingertips, that when you wear both sets of tefillin, both mitzvahs individually are enhanced.
Right.
But nevertheless, there are two cheftas and two maises.
Right.
There's anocha here and itof here, and you count it as two mitzvahs, they're not likuva. So that's why I'm just saying that this last paragraph, in order to defend Reb Chaim, which seems to be very critical in the whole picture, should be really analyzed with a thorough research in the Rambam Shroshim to understand how to fit that into the Sefer HaMitzvos.
Can I ask a quick question?
Right.
Why, if we can't recite Parsha Tzitzis at night according to Rav, why can't you just recite the Pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha from the Yisrael Adiba, which combines Malchut Shemayim and Yitzim Yisrayim.
Right, and not only that, I would add to your question, Neil, why can't you read the parasha of Ribbis or the parasha of Mishkolos? Many different parashas that mention Yitzim Yisrayim. So,
and Malchut Shemayim together.
Correct. And even if you have to drop the ball on Tzitzis because Lilab's on Tzitzis, couldn't we find a substitute? You know, you need to enhance your mitzvah by reading a Kiksova Kilshon. Again, the only answer I can give you, and it's very, very difficult, is that we want to have Kriyat Shema as an entity, you know, that repeats itself. And if Vayomer is out of the picture, we're not going to substitute another parasha and then have three parashas in the morning, three parashas in the evening, but three different parashas, meaning the third parasha is going to be different. I don't know. But hold on to your question. I don't know. Keep in mind that Rav agrees that if you started the parasha, you got to finish it in its entirety. What's that all about? Abaya, from his part, would embrace the sheet of Marava, that we begin the parasha with one pasuk and a half, and end it with the last three words at the end of the parasha. What's that all about? And on top of that, Abai says, I'm going to embrace the sheet of the Bnei Marava, but I'm going to have to be forced willy-nilly to read the entire parasha with tzitzis, because of Rav's logic, that came in Shehischil Gomer. What's that all about? So the kids of the sugi is very complex. It's what we call a sugya amuma ad ma'od. Very, very unclear. And let's see if the Rav could put this all together for us into some neat package. Again, as I said before, my goal would be, although as time moves, I see it's further and further away from achievement, is to finish at least this section called Dalet tonight. And what time is Mincha? 55. So we'll see how far we get. You know, at some point I'm gonna have to take a break just to get something to drink. But let's see the end of Yud Aleph, going on to Yud Beis. The Rav says that there's no steer now between the Rambam and Rashi on the other hand, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah never rejected the possibility, as we turn to Yud Beis, of fulfilling the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrayim with a subjective personal formula like Modim Anachnu Lach. That wasn't rejected. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma could agree that one dimension of the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrayim could be fulfilled by reciting your own personal parasha. However, even though you don't need the parasha Kiksava, nevertheless, by reading the parasha Kiksava, you enhance the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. And now you obtain the mitzvah of Shleimus. And you'll see here on the third line on Yud Beis, Mishrim Shegam Chalos Kabbalos Ol Malchus Shemayim Kshuraba. In other words, the full-fledged mitzvah of Kabbalos Ol Malchus Shemayim is connected with Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, and the Rav has proven that with many psukim in the Torah. Therefore, according to this Shita, when we read the Parsha Vayomer, we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrayim in its most perfect and sophisticated manner. And therefore, the Gemara is very clear that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we will read the Parsha of Vayomer. However, this concept is acceptable only if you'll allow me to read Vayomer. Meaning, despite the fact that Laila loves my tzitzis, give me license to read that parasha. So if there's no hafkah, we don't undermine the reading of the parasha of Vayomer, the parasha of tzitzis, at night, then we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Rai B'Shleimus, and that's going to be the Rambam's psak. But Rav, on the other hand, holds that we have to completely omit the parasha of Vayomer at night, because ein mitzvah tzitzis no heges b'layla. Therefore, we have no other choice but the default position, and that at night we will recite our own personal formula, and in that way fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. And here's where I indicated the word paguma that I said before, and that's in the last couple of lines here in the first paragraph on the top of page Yud Beis. And the Rav here is contrasting the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzrayim by day with that of night. Now, the Rambam and Rashi agree that Abaye, in his final conclusion, would recite Parshas Vayomer at night, Midin Torah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, integrated into Kabbalah Sal Boch Shemayim. But the only problem is that that's not really what Abaye says. If you're very clear and meticulous about reading Abaye's statement, he says that the parsha of Vayomer is not read at night, but that we have to start the parsha, and once we start it, we have to complete it. So the Rav asks the obvious question. Where do we find such halacha with regard to a din d'oraisa that you started, you finish? Meaning, in and of itself, you would not have to read the parasha. At least not the tzitzis part of the parasha. But once you've begun the parasha, you have to complete the parasha. So in order to understand Abaye, let's try to understand the halacha of Bnei Marava. A very strange halacha, the Rav points out in the paragraph that starts Kideh. At night, according to Bnei Marava, we begin with Daber El Bnei Yisrael, the Amarta Aleihem. So you've got part of that pasuk, correct? And then we skip the entire parasha, and we complete it with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Where do we find such a thing? He says, Lufum Riata, the fourth line, Hayu Noagim Kaf, the reason for this minig is, in order to allow us to recite MS V'emuna. So we need that Ani Hashem Elokeichem to add to it the word MS, which appears in Tanakh, and then begin MS V'emuna. Says the Rav, I don't understand. Why do you need that? You just want to declare that the belief in Hashem and is taking us out of Mitzrayim is MS, it's true. So why do you have to read the psukim from the parasha? Why not just say Modim Anachnu Loch, Hashem Elokeinu, Shel Tzitzonim Eretz Mitzrayim, Baruch Ato Hashem, Gal Yisrael, and that itself would facilitate the ability to say Emes V'Yatziv. In other words, Emes V'Emun, excuse me. Why do I need to read the beginning of the parasha and the end of the parasha here in order to begin MS V'emuna? Why not just make a statement, a declaration, Hashem, I thank you, I appreciate, I acknowledge the great thing you did for us, taking us out of Mitzrayim, that's MS. And now read the MS V'emuna, which is the bracha of Kriyat Shema that discusses Yitzias Mitzrayim. And not only that, the Rav says, what's this dilug over here? You start the parasha, you end the parasha, but you skip the entire bulk of the parasha. And the plot grows thicker because the Shita Mekubetzes, in explaining this dilug of the Bnei Marava, says it's based on psukim in Parashas Kedoshim. In Sefer Vayikra, there it says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar.
Oh, cool.
This is so interesting. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. The Amarta Aleihem, very similar to what we have here, Amarta Aleihem, except Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which appears at the end of the parasha here in Shlach, appears continuous to this pasuk. Now, what is the Shita Mekubetzes trying to tell me over here? Okay, so we found such a pasuk, but we're not reading that pasuk. We're reading the parasha in Shlach, in Bamidbar.
Kind of are reading that pasuk. Effectively.
Well, not word for word, but yeah, effectively. So the Rav wants to sharpen our understanding of what the Shita Mekubetzes really means by presenting that there is such a pasuk that can, you know, without having to be broken up into small pieces, you know, reads flowingly in that way. And here the Rav quotes the Yad HaMelech. If I'm not mistaken, the Yad HaMelech is the son of the Nodav Yehuda. And I've never seen the Rav quote the Yad HaMelech before. I probably will never see him quoted again. And the Yad HaMelech wants to answer the Kusha, the question of the Rashba. The Rashba asks, and you'll see this in footnote 27, how could you, according to Bnei Marava, slice this parasha into two, omit the middle, the bulk of the parasha in the middle, when we have a principle called Psukah Lo Paski Moshe, not Lo Paski, we never split a pasuk into half. So the Yad HaMelech answers that we can do so in this particular case because there is a pasuk elsewhere in Vayikra Yudches where the pasuk exactly appears the way we're reconstructing it. So we're cutting and pasting a pasuk, but that pasuk does exist elsewhere. So the Rav says on the top of Yud Gimel, his mind, he's not comfortable with this understanding. At first glance, he says the reader of Kriyat Shema has no intention of reading any psukim in Vayikra, but rather he's reading the Parsha Vayomer in Bamidbar. So what does he benefit? What are the Rishonim here, the Shita Mekubetzes or the Achronim, the Yad HaMelech, what do they gain by telling us that since there's a Parsha in Vayikra, therefore we can attach partial or segments of psukim together in Parshas Vayomer? What's that all about?
Amen.
So here on page Yud Gimel, the Rav gives us a little bit more of a grasp, a little bit more of an insight, which we desperately need, on this business about omitting Parshas Tzitzis at night, which is the sheet of both the Bnei Marav, who have the skipping, the dilug, and it's also the sheet of Rav, who says that you don't even begin the Parsha. He says that even though the Parsha of Tzitzis, according to the Rambam for sure, is part and parcel of Kriyat Shema in the morning, and that's a Doraisa halacha, nevertheless it's omitted Arvis because of the Petur of Tzitzis Balayla. How can we enhance our understanding of that? He says there's a klal, and we have to accept this klal, and that is that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim is impossible without a hischaivus be all mitzvahs. In other words, if there's not at least a minimal commitment to a particular mitzvah, and I say, now I tell God, now I am committed to fulfill this obligation, without that, there's no such thing as kabbalas al mitzvahs. All malchus shemayim, excuse me. Now let's check this out. Start with the first parsha. The first parsha we've discussed on occasion is Yichud Hashem. Hashem is one. Is Talmud Torah. You know, Vishinantam Levanecha. We talk V'ahavtas Hashem Lekech, the mitzvah of Ava. There are many different yesodos that are reflected in the first parsha, but what kabbalas al mitzvahs is there in the first parsha? So the Rav says, he gufa. When in the first parsha we mention Avas Hashem, and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we are committing ourselves to those mitzvahs. That commitment is what clinches the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, because Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim requires Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs. The second parasha is replete with Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs, and the third parasha has tzitzis, which is connected all the mitzvahs. Now, the Rav says that during the day, we understand very well why we read the third parasha so far as we need Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs, because Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs in the case of tzitzis is very much understood. Tzitzis encompasses all the mitzvahs. It's a zechira of all the mitzvahs. Because the pasuk says, "Urisim al souls charitim is kol mitzvahs Hashem." The Rav claims, however, that there's another element in the parasha of tzitzis which likewise links up to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's not just the tzitzis insofar as that tzchiras kol mitzvahs, but it's also tzchiras yitzias mitzrayim. Ask yourself the following question. If tzchiras yitzias mitzrayim, together with the mitzvah of tzitzis, integrates to form one entity called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim in the recitation of parashas Vayomer, could tzchiras yitzias mitzrayim exist on its own, independent of the mitzvah of tzitzis? And then Afkamina is going to be at night. Because at night, we cannot have Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs through tzitzis, because tzitzis is not obligatory at night. In other words, when I commit myself to a mitzvah, it's got to be a mitzvah which right now I can fulfill. At night, I can't say I'm committing myself to the mitzvah of tzitzis, because right now I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Lila loves on tzitzis. However, what about Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim? Can we at least salvage that element in the parasha of Vayomer? As it says, Ani Hashem Elokei Lashatzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, and through that part of the parasha, fulfill Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, says the Rav. No. Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim links up with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, but it drops the ball on Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. There's no element of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs in remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore the Rav says, look at the next to the last sentence here in this paragraph, Lachain, Ein Toelis, again he's explaining the Sheet of Rav and the Bnei Marova, Ein Toelis, Bekabolas Ol Malchu Shamayim, Derech, Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's no point, there's no accomplishment of trying to achieve Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim through mentioning the redemption from Egypt, and only the redemption from Egypt. The redemption from Egypt is a very nice part of the puzzle. It's a beautiful element that enhances our Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, but it cannot exist independent.
Well, it doesn't exist independent, because there's another mitzvah in that parasha, Lotaturu.
Excellent. Excellent kasha. I thought of the kasha myself, and Bobby Silverstein asked me this kasha. I don't know the answer to that kasha. But one thing we see, that the thrust of this parasha, if I would ask you, Chaim, what's the focal point of this parasha? What's the centrifuge? Is there such a word?
Centerpiece.
What's the hub of the entire parasha? Tzitzis, no? I mean, read it through. Mm-hmm. Tzitzis takes you from the second pasuk all the way to the end, except for the last pasuk. So you've got the remembrance of all the mitzvahs through tzitzis. Now, true, you also have los asuru, you have minus, and you have znus, and all the other aspects. But since the thrust of the parasha is tzitzis, this parasha plays a role and functions as part of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim because of the Kabbalas Ol mitzvahs of tzitzis. I would also put tzitzis on a special level because the pasuk u'schatim is kol mitzvahs Hashem. So tzitzis encompasses all the mitzvahs. Therefore, the Rav postulates that according to Rav and the Bnei Marava, even though Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, nevertheless, it cannot justify and obligate us to read this entire parasha if it cannot be coupled with the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, Ol Mitzvahs, excuse me, in this case of Tzitzis, because Tzitzis is the backbone, the essence of the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs that justifies the obligation of reading this parasha. And again, the last line in this paragraph, the Rav says, "Im ein zchira zu goremes lekabalas mitzvahs, eina mishameshes klum." The Rav says that if the remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not accompanied by a commitment to mitzvahs, and I guess he means mitzvahs in general, or super duper mitzvahs, then it doesn't serve any function whatsoever. Now, I beg you to understand that the Rav has shifted our whole understanding here. We thought that if God took us out of Mitzrayim, we owe our sovereignty, our slavery, our servitude to God. Correct? That was the philosophical concept that we thought underlined this whole presentation from beginning to end. And therefore, Rav Chaim is right that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is part and parcel of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. But now the Rav is making a whole turnover. He's saying that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim doesn't exist independent of Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. So that's point number one. Again, you have to buy into this or drop the ball. It's up to you. If you buy into it, then Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim without Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is meaningless. That's number one. Number two, it doesn't stop there. Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, in the case of Parshas Vayomer, could only exist by combining Tzitzis with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Remove Tzitzis from the bag, right? And then, what are you left with? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Rav, it can't stand on its own. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim alein, hotness can kium of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Why is that so? Why is it absolutely critical that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim be accompanied by Kabbalas Mitzvahs? I don't know. But maybe that's just a reflection of what the Rav said at the beginning, that Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is integral to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. We're not just saying, God, you know, you're great, and we subjugate ourselves, and we committed to you. That's not enough. We have to have a commitment to mitzvahs. And not only that, those mitzvahs have to be relevant now, at the very moment that I make that commitment.
First parsha of Kriyat Shema, like when the Gemara in Brachos says, why do we say the first, because it's out of order in the Torah, so the first parsha we say first because that's Ol Malchus Shemayim, and the second parsha of Shema is Ol Mitzvah. So we know they're two separate things.
But the Rav is not operating with that premise. Again, we'd have to examine that sugya. Maybe what the Gemara means according to the Rav is that the first parsha has something that the second parsha doesn't have. So whereas the second parasha has Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, it's completely devoid of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim as an abstract concept. So when I say Hashem Echad, and I pledge allegiance, so to speak, to my commitment, declare my commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam in an abstract sense, and then I go ahead and I accept Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah, then I have something that's very, very unique and deserves to get first shot. Let's look at this next paragraph, because I think that this next paragraph is an enhancement, an extension of the previous paragraph. He says, what about the Bnei Ma'arav? They're not willing to dump the whole parsha. They're not willing to say, well, there's no tzitzis, therefore there's no Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, therefore the whole parsha is completely null and void as far as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. No. They claim that this parsha Vayomer has a twofold Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Certainly, number one is tzitzis, and therefore most of the parsha is dedicated to tzitzis. But there's another element in this parsha which justifies the reading of this parsha as a kiyum of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And what's that? Excuse me. That is the first pasuk plus half of the second pasuk plus three words in the last pasuk. He says, "Kevan sheyeshnam shnei ksuvim aleim ka'elu b'sefer vayikra." since we find two psukim in Vayikra, if somebody could be kind enough to open up Vayikra Yudches,
beginning of the Arayot, that's what we read on Yom Kippur.
Okay, great. So what does it say? The Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Just double check me on this. Daber b'nei Yisrael.
That's right.
Are those two different psukim?
No. It's the same pasuk.
Oh, so what does he mean by Shnei Ksuvim Aleihem?
Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe Lemar.
Yeah.
Well, the first
and then
one.
A new pasuk.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Daber b'nei Yisrael Aleihem. Ani Hashem al Keichem.
Yeah. And then can I say?
Okay. Fine. So those two psukim in what is it? Parshas Kedoshim.
Achrimos.
Oh, it's an Achrimos?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ready.
So where's Kedoshim start? Yutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So at the end of Achrimos, those two psukim essentially convey Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So when we get back to Parshas Vayomer and we find by chopping and pasting together psukim or segments of psukim, we end up with the identical content as those psukim in Parshas Achrimos, then we have here a form, a method, of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim through Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. How so? Where is there Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim through Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs here in this pasuk? So you have to introduce Rashi over here. Now, you don't have a chumash with Rashi in the case of Achrimos, do you? Again, if we can get that, I mean, the Rav quotes of it, I'd love to see it in the original. Anihu, when it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Anihu Shamarti B'Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, V'kibaltem Aleichem Malchusai. So what's the key in this Rashi? What is this Ani Hashem Elokeichem a reference to or an allusion to? Well, you're a step ahead of me. To Sinai. You see where Rashi says Sinai. And you shall mighty be Sinai. This pasuk here in Parshas Achrimos takes us back to Har Sinai. What happened at Har Sinai? Well, we got the Aseres HaDibros. But what else happened at Har Sinai? Rashi says something else happened at Har Sinai. Not only do we receive the Aseres HaDibros, but we accept it upon ourselves, Ol Malchus Shamayim. Therefore, says the Rav, when we look through the perspective of the Parshan Achrimos, with the Rashi's addendum and his embellishment, and we come back now to Parshas Vayomer in Shlach, then we can link up different segments of psukim, fractions, or how do you call it, chips of psukim, in order to form one entity of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Once we do so, according to Bnei Marava, we no longer need the mitzvah of tzitzis. So again, whereas Rav says the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos in this parasha of Vayomer is totally dependent upon tzitzis, at night you cannot have that, and therefore you drop the whole parasha. The Bnei Marava are willing to say that we can substitute within the context of this parasha an element of recitation that replaces the mitzvah of tzitzis. What element, what recitation will replace the mitzvah of tzitzis? This combination of what I call psukim chips, and that combination leads us to Aniu Shamarti B'Sinai Anochi Hashem Elokecha V'Kibaltem Aleichem Malchusai, to this theme. So we have here then a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim in these psukim. So it comes out that the fact that there's no chiyuv of tzitzis at night, although that would certainly make it impossible for us to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim through tzitzis, but nevertheless, we will not expand and extend that p'tur to the entire parsha and exclude this parsha, bump it off from the chiyuv of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, because that could come and be achieved by cutting and pasting these segments, these chips of psukim. Therefore, Parshas Vayomer includes within it two elements, and this is more or less a repetition of what we saw at the beginning of this paragraph. Number one, tzitzis, and number two, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, by linking together the beginning of the parasha with the end of the parasha. However, is it valid to link the beginning of a parsha with the end of a parsha? What validates that? The Rav says the parsha in Vayikra, the psukim in Vayikra, validate what we want to do here in Parshas Vayomer. And again, Neil, this all reflects back to what I said to you before, that we're trying to create some similarity or some uniformity between the Kriyat Shema of Shachris and the Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Although, yes, you're right. The Bnei Marov agree we have to drop the Parsha of Tzitzis because it's totally irrelevant to Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim in the nighttime because there's no mitzvah of Tzitzis at night. But if we can find another element within the Parsha of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, then the Parsha remains, albeit in a very skeleton kind of state, you know, just the head and the feet. The torso, the bulk of the Parsha is completely omitted. But we can do such a thing. How can you link up the beginning with the end? You remember the kasha that the Adel Melech was trying to answer the Rashba's kasha? How can you do it kolpaske, tolpaske motion? The answer is that's validated by the psukim in Achrimos. And therefore, there are two ways of fulfilling Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim through the recitation of Vayomer. One is to read the entire Parsha Kesidra, and the other is to read the beginning and the end of the Parsha, skipping the middle of the Parsha of Tzitzis. Now, if you look at the parasha carefully, you will see that Ani Hashem Elokeichem appears twice in this parasha. It appears
in the last pasuk twice.
In Mem Aleph before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and at the end of Mem Aleph after Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rav says, why is Ani Hashem Elokeichem repeated within the same pasuk? He says, the first one is addended, is connected with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me read this again. L'chein nichpala ha-memra shal ani Hashem al-keichem l'fnei haskar Yetzias Mitzrayim v'achreha. Harishona, the first one, links us up, I made a mistake, links us up with tzitzis that came before it. And the second one, with Sinai and Kabbalah's old mitzvahs at Sinai. Which one of the two is going to be relevant to Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? The one that links us back to Tzitzis or the one that links us to Sinai? Right, the last one, because the one that links us to Tzitzis is a null set at night. And therefore we understand, the Rav says, the bottom of Yud Beis, turning over to Yud Dalid, that even though there's no mitzvah of Tzitzis at night, and therefore Kabbalah's old mitzvahs Ol Malchus Shemayim through Mitzvah Tzitz is completely impossible at night, and the Bnei Marav agreed to that. Nevertheless, we cannot completely remove Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim of the second Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is totally independent of the Mitzvah Tzitz. And we're going to read that part of the parasha, omitting the parasha of Tzitz, in order to fulfill our mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, there's a mitzvah min HaTorah, according to Bnei Marav, to begin the parasha Vayomer, because we want to be consistent, and then to link to that opening the end of the the end of the parasha, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. By accomplishing, what do we accomplish by linking the beginning of the parasha to the end? You now have a kiyum of reading a parasha kiksova, which has within it Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Again, the Rav's predicate that we always come back to, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, we have to read a parasha kiksova. And here, by linking up Shivrei Psukim, beginning and end, we actually are reading a parasha kiksova. And what is that parasha? That is the parasha of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim of Vayomer, minus Tzitzis. But now the Rav adds another dimension here. He claims that reading that parasha is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's that all about? There's no mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He starts the beginning of the parasha, Dabar b'nei Yisrael mirat aleihem, and then he reads the end of the parasha, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Where's Yetzias Mitzrayim here? So the Rav says that the Ani Hashem Elokeichem at the end of the parasha is linked up to Yetzias Mitzrayim that came right before it. In other words, we have the two Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The first links us back to Tzitzis, and that we drop, that we omit. The second links us back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is a connection to Sinai and Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, becomes now the focal point, the thrust of Akiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But not only that, it also, in a sense, touches on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, you might ask the question, so why not read the entire Pasuk? Why just allude to Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Why beat around the bush in this codified, abbreviated form? Why not just read it explicitly? The answer is because then you're in trouble. Because then you're going to have the first Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which links you back to what? To Tzitzis, and that's a no-no. That has to be omitted. Says the Rav, Al Pitziruv Zeh, who Omer Parsha Kiksova, Sheish Bar Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, Vakshura B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. A parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that's connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Ki alo Kabbalah Zu Ani Hashem Elokeichem, he siyuma, it's the signature. What other word can I use? It's the
ending.
The ending. All right, I'm looking for a different word. It's the the signature. Another word for signature. It's the chasima of the Yetzias, of the Hazkaras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which came right before it. Again, he doesn't explicitly mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to B'nai Ma'arava, because that would get us back to the mitzvah of tzitzis, but nevertheless, we do have an obligation to read the Ani Hashem Elokeichem the second, Roman Rule number 2, and why? Because that somehow, mizdakekes, I think, means it links up, it sort of touches base with the zechira at the beginning of this pasuk of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, the Rav adds the old footnote that this again supports the breakthrough of Rav Chaim that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a part and parcel of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and therefore we need the second Ani Hashem Elokeichem as part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because it is mitzuraf, it is linked up to the Yetzias Mitzrayim that came right before it. And at the end of this paragraph, the Rav summarizes this whole chiddush by saying that Kriyas Mi'uta, a reading of a small minority of the parasha, namely the beginning and the end, Ga Shegam Tochna Hu Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, both the beginning and the end form a unit of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, Lo Hufka, that's not removed, that's not bumped off at night. Rav Cholik Al Zeh, Rav disagrees, and he holds that despite the fact that there are psukim throughout the Torah, psukim in Vayikra, which in substance imitate, or mirror the beginning and the end of Parshas Vayomer, nevertheless, we cannot take the Parshas Vayomer and split it into two chalosim, or he calls it chalutot problem. Namely, chalos kabbalas malchus through mitzvah tzitzis, and kabbalah al yidei dibra miyuchedes. Dibra, I think he means the first dibra of the Aseres HaDibros, Anokhi Hashem Elokeichem. In other words, Rav finds it unacceptable to split the parasha into its two dimensions, take one and drop the other. There's one chalos of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that reflects an integration of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and our commitment to mitzvahs. In this case, mitzvahs tzitzis representing all the mitzvahs. At night, where there is no possibility of committing oneself to the mitzvahs through tzitzis, we have to drop the parasha completely. We cannot salvage one element of the parasha and call that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and let it exist independently on its own. However, Rav comes along and he says it all depends whether you started the parasha. Once you started the parasha, then you have to read the entire parasha. What's that all about? So the Rav suggests that there's halacha of kol parsha de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskina. Not only don't we split psukim, we don't split parshas. And the Rav claims that there are two dimensions to that halacha. Number one, it's an isur, a prohibition, we're not allowed to split parshas. Number two, it's a kiyum, it's a positive fulfillment. Do you see at the end of page Yudalit, he says, V'od yosin nira ki halacha zu of kol parsha de lo paske Moshe, Mechadeshes lo iser afsoka, not the prohibition against splitting the parasha in two, ki im chiyuv amira, but rather generates a kiyum, an obligation of reading the entire parasha within the context of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So again, yes, kol parasha lo paske Moshe is an iser, and that's how it applies throughout all the parashas of the Torah. But it has a very specific role to play in the parasha of Vayomer as part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And it tells me that the parsha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim Vayomer is an indivisible parsha in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So when we read the parsha of Vayomer as a kiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, we have to read the entire parsha. So we don't want to start with this parsha because tzitzis is high profile in this parasha, and there's no tzitzis at night. We're on the top of Tesvav. However, once you began the parasha, then since there is an element, and Rav doesn't deny it, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim in the parasha, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, therefore you have to recite the entire parasha. And the whole parasha becomes nichsheres as an integral part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So once again, Rabbos, I have to tell you that there's a very sophisticated and complex structure over here that the Rav is presenting. But I wouldn't blame the Rav totally for this, because the sugya itself, even on the most superficial level, is so complicated, so difficult to understand. You don't start the parasha, says Rav, because it's tzitzis. But if you start, you read the whole parasha. What's that all about, says the Rav. On the one hand, we don't want to start the parasha because the essence of the parasha in terms of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is tzitzis. And that doesn't apply at night. On the other hand, if you already began the parasha, since this parasha does contain an element of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim within Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which links you up to Shechinah Yisrael, then the halacha of Kol Paskei tells me that I have to fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim by reading the entire parasha as one entity without dividing it into its parts. So Kevin Shehischil Gomer. And here the Rav stretches his arm out to an entirely different sugya of Kriyas Halal Rosh Chodesh, where we find a parallel structure that once you begin, you don't drop the ball in the middle, but rather you complete the entire halal. Now, just a little background, and maybe we'll have to stop for this, but you should know that according to the Rambam Shita, and that seems to be the Brisa and Tainis on Chav Ches, the mitzvah of Halal Rosh Chodesh only applies b'tzibur. So if I'm reading Hallel outside of the Mizgeret of a Tzibur as a Yachid, I do not recite Hallel. However, the Brisa says, if he began Hallel, he completes Hallel. And the Rambam in the third parak of Chanukah, where he codifies all the halachas of Hallel, writes, Aval Roshei Chadashim Kriyas HaHal Minhag, U'minig Zebet Tzibur. The meaning is only incumbent upon the tzibur, l'ficha korim b'diluk, whatever that means, meaning why do we skip parts since it's only a minog, and it's only on the tzibur. V'yachid lo yikra klal. Don't even bother reading halal as a yachid, according to the Rambam. Did you know that? The Sfaradim to this day do not recite a brach on halal and Rosh Chodesh based on the Rambam. However, some minhagim have it amongst the Sfaradim that the Shliach Tzibur will recite halal on behalf of the entire Tzibur. There are still a few communities that have that minhag. So the Rambam says that if you're not in the Tzibur, you don't read halal at all. But, says the Rambam, Hizkil, Mashlim. So you see that Hascholas Kriyas Halal generates a chiyuv upon the Yochid to complete its Amira.
Mashlim without Diluk, you mean?
With Diluk. With Diluk. But nevertheless, he has to read all of Halal because he started. He shouldn't have started. But once he starts, he's got to complete. The Rav's going to give us another example in a few minutes. But again, I don't know if one kasha answers the other kasha, or one kasha just exacerbates the other kasha, so now you have two kashas. Again, there's some sort of concept of Hizchil Gomer, and we'll have to figure out what that means, that there is such a thing as a chativa, an entity, that once you begin that entity, is lo paske, you can't interrupt it in the middle. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much.